Let's take our Bibles and turn over to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. I want to share with you just for a few moments something on the theme that correlates with this, our missions time of the year as we come up on our missions revival. And also tonight, to prepare our hearts in thinking about what Jesus Christ did for us in saving us as we go to the Lord's Supper. Luke chapter 15 is a chapter that you probably, if you are a Bible student and know your Bible well, you know that Luke chapter 15 is all about lost things. It's about a lost sheep, and it's about a lost coin, and it's about a lost son. And it's a chapter that focuses on the tragedy of being lost. It is the foundational reason why Jesus Christ went to the cross and why missions and evangelism is so vital. Those who are lost are in a absolutely tragic situation. And Jesus Christ focused in Luke 15 on the tragedy of being lost and what God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all mobilized themselves to accomplish to be able to provide salvation for those that are lost. Verse 1 of chapter 15 says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." Jesus Christ at this event, is surrounded by publicans and sinners. The word sinners there is a word that was used specifically or used primarily to speak of moral uncleanness. So there's the crowd of people that are gathering around Jesus are not upstanding citizens. They're not the cream of the crop. They are called publicans and sinners because they are despicable outcasts from society. They're thieves. They're prostitutes. They're the kind of people that if the doors opened and a crowd of people came in of that class of people, you moms might get your purse and put it between your feet on the floor where you know where your purse is. You may reach over and grab your child and scoot them up a little closer to you on your seat. This is a bad crowd of people. A bad crowd of people. And these people know that they're a bad crowd of people. They know that they're not good enough to go to heaven. And that's what made them so open to the ministry of Jesus Christ. They don't have any airs of superiority about them. They don't have a self-conscience that says, you're good. You're a good citizen. You're a good religious person. And so this crowd of people were often drawn to the gospel ministry of Jesus Christ because they knew they needed it. But the next verse says that the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." So not only is there a crowd of social outcasts, thieves, immoral people that are gravitating to the ministry of Jesus Christ to hear what he has to say, there are also a religious crowd with their nose up in the air, looking down upon the ones that are coming to Jesus Christ. And when they see how that Jesus Christ spends time with these outcasts, how that he receives them, how he even, horror of horrors, he even goes into their homes and has a meal with them. This is off the charts bizarre. No holy man, no prophet, no religious man would go into some of those homes and eat a meal with these despicable people. So the Pharisees thought. And so the Pharisees, the religious crowd, the self-righteous crowd, the ones that they were pretty good, they were murmuring, they were whispering. You could see them in the corners talking at each other and lifting their nose toward Jesus Christ and shaking their head at the crowd that Jesus Christ attracted. They're murmuring against Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ seems to have a compassion for these despicable social outcasts. So Jesus Christ takes this opportunity. This is an amazing opportunity. It's an opportunity to reach out in love to these social outcasts, to convey to them how much he loves them, to convey to them what a despicable situation they're in or what a tragic situation they're in, I should say. And what God had done to remedy that, Jesus has the opportunity to reach out with a compassionate heart to these social outcasts in front of a religious crowd that don't know what they need. In reality, they need the same thing that the social outcast needs. But they don't know they need that. And since they don't know they need that, they're not seeking Jesus Christ. Their ear is not open to Him. They're not hungry for what He has to say. But they're going to listen to what Jesus says. And it would seem to me, because of what comes up in chapter 16, it would seem to me that Jesus Christ has taken this teaching moment, this great opportunity, to reach out in compassion to social outcasts under the gaze of religious people who also desperately need Him but don't know it. And so Jesus Christ tells a very familiar parable. A parable that has three parts to it. A parable that tells about a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. It's all about lost things. You know this story very well, I know. I want you to just pick up a couple of practical lessons about the amazing love that God has, even for the most outcast of society. And we see that by observing some specifics in this three-part parable. I want you to think about a couple of words here. First word I want you to think about is the word lost. The word lost. Obviously, this is about lost things. Lost sheep, lost coin, lost son. This is about loss. It's about being lost. But what is Jesus conveying to these publicans and sinners about what it means to be lost? What does it mean for your neighbor to be lost? What does it mean for your coworker to be lost? What does it mean for your family member to be lost? What does it mean to be lost? Well, Jesus Christ tells a story about a lost sheep. You know how the story goes. In verse number 4, he talks about a man who has 100 sheep. If he loses one of them, he leaves the 99 in the wilderness and he goes after that which is lost until he finds it. He tells a story that was very common. Everyone knew about lost sheep. That was a very common situation in the culture in which Jesus lived. A shepherd might have 100 sheep, and he would take them through the day, through the country area, take them from one grazing place to another grazing place, to streams where they can get water for their refreshment. And at the end of the day, he would take them to a central location where he had a sheepfold set up. He would lead them back to the sheepfold. As they went in the door, he would count them. 1, 2, 3, 98, 99. Where's number 100? Number 100's not there. It's at the end of the day, the shadows are lengthening across the wilderness area, and there's one sheep that's out there. It's out there in the wilderness. It's out there where beasts of prey will roam through the night looking for something to kill and eat. The shepherd realizes that he has a lost sheep. Why was the sheep lost? How did the sheep become lost? How do people become lost? A sheep becomes lost generally because it simply wandered away from the shepherd. You see, sheep are dumb animals. They don't have very good eyesight. Out in the wild where they are grazing, it would not be unusual for a sheep to be nibbling off a little clump of grass. And then it can see about 8 or 12 inches over here. It sees another clump of grass and it steps over there and it nibbles for a little while. And then to another clump of grass, then to another clump of grass. And then gradually, little by little, it wanders away from where the shepherd is. And if the shepherd's not alert, if the shepherd didn't notice, because he's got 100 sheep out there that he's trying to keep his eye on, that one sheep might wander behind a bush, over a hill, down a lane, to where the shepherd doesn't realize he doesn't have the sheep until the end of the day, when they get back to the sheepfold and he counts the sheep and he realizes there is one sheep that is lost. Why is it lost? It's lost because it merely wandered away from the shepherd. And it left the sheep in a situation. The situation it left the sheep in is a situation of great danger. A situation of great danger. The sheep will not survive the night. The sheep will die tonight. It will be eaten tonight by a beast of prey. The sheep is in great danger because it merely wandered away. Do we understand that there are all around us in South Riding people who just simply, little by little, as they grow up through life, they just wandered away? It wasn't any particular decision on any one day that says, I'm going to reject God and walk away from God. It wasn't any momentous event. They just got a little further away from God, and a little further away from God, and a little further away from God, and they just wandered away. And by the time they realize, as the night falls upon the countryside, the wilderness area, and they realize they are lost, then panic sets in. They are in danger. There's no shepherd to rescue it. It is out there with no way to defend itself, no hope. It is hopelessly lost in great danger. The tragedy of being lost. Jesus then told another part to the story. He said there was a woman, and she had a coin that was lost, and she had 10 pieces of silver. Verse number 8 says, and she lost one piece, and she lit a candle and swept the house to seek diligently till she find it. The woman in the picture has 10 coins. It was likely a dowry necklace with 10 silver coins. That made up the dowry. It probably had great emotional value to her. It was probably a precious piece of her jewelry collection. And perhaps she got it out one day to put it on, and she realizes one of the silver coins is gone. It's become lost. How did the coin become lost? A coin doesn't wander away. How does a coin become lost? A coin becomes lost because of the carelessness of the owner. Because the lady who had it, maybe she didn't realize that it was getting loose in its setting. Maybe she was careless in the way she dropped it on a hard surface and knocked it loose from its setting. Whatever, through some carelessness perhaps of her own part, when she goes to put it on, it's gone, it's lost, and she realizes she's lost something of great value to her. That coin had great purpose in her life. But now that it's lost, it is totally useless. It will never fulfill its purpose. What is conveyed to us about the tragedy being lost in the story of the coin? It reminds me that there are some people who are lost because of the carelessness of those around them. Maybe a parent that didn't share the gospel in family devotions as the child grew up. Maybe a Sunday school teacher or a church worker that didn't go after their soul and pray for them diligently. Maybe it was Christian friends that knew this lost person, but they never took time to try to reach them with the gospel. And through the carelessness of Christian people, this coin has become lost. And in its lost condition, in its useless to its owner. It'll never fulfill its purpose in life. It will never fulfill the design that it was given when it was produced. And I think of people whom God has given life, people who are creations of God with a purpose that God has in their lives, a purpose to use them for His honor and glory, a purpose to use them to accomplish great work for His glory. And then because of the carelessness of those who know the Lord, this individual finds themselves lost and useless to God because they're lost. And then there's another part to this story. The third part of the story is about a son. We know the part with regard to the son. The Bible says that a man in verse 11 had two sons. The younger said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Here we have a dad with two boys. And the dad has property. He's got an inheritance. What the dad has produced in his lifetime of work will one day be divided to his two sons. However, one of the sons doesn't want to wait for his dad to die. He's tired of waiting. Dad's too healthy. Dad's not going to die for a while. The son went to his dad, and in essence, the son said, "Dad, I wish you were dead. I want the inheritance now. Give me my part of the inheritance that would be mine at your death." Horrible, horrible. And yet that's what the son did. The son wanted his dad's property, and he wanted it now. And he turned and he left and he went with his father's inheritance to waste all of that living in riotous living. All of that substance in riotous living. How did that young man become lost? That young man became lost by rebelling against his dad. By shaking his fist in the face of his dad and say, "Dad, I don't want anything to do with the way you live. I don't want your morality. I don't want your lifestyle. I don't want to stay here where you, in your country. I don't want to stay here and take over the family farm, so to speak. Give me my part of the inheritance that would be mine when you die. I'm out of here to go make my own life and do things the way I want to do things." He rebelled against his father. How did he become lost? He rebelled against his dad. And we see the condition that he was in because he was lost was a condition that ended up in great misery. He went and he took all the wealth that his dad had given to him. He wasted it in riotous living. He partied. He drugged it up. He wasted it. He had all of his buddies that wanted to, as long as he was paying the tab at the bar, they all wanted to come and party with him. And as soon as all the money was gone, he found out that all of the friends didn't really care about him as a person. They were just riding on the coattail of his bankroll. And as soon as all the bankroll was gone, the friends were gone. And he found himself in a stall, slopping hogs, wondered, "How in the world did I get here?" Misery. Now, Jesus Christ painted this picture because he wanted to convey to those people that had gathered around him, many of which, most of which, were social outcasts, he wanted them to understand what it means to be lost. Some of you are lost because you just merely got curious about what was over there, and you wandered little by little by little by little until you were far from God. And as a result of that, you were in great danger of eternal judgment. Some of you are lost because the ones who knew you and were Christians were careless to get the gospel to you. And so those who could have led you to Christ never shared that with you. And you were lost because of the carelessness of those around you, and you ended up being useless to God. You'll never fulfill your purpose that God had when He created you. And then some of you are lost because you just got sick and tired of the rules. You got sick and tired of the morality. You got tired of the way it was at Dad's. And you said, "Give me the money. I'm not going to hang around here any longer." And then when life becomes difficult, that person finds out that lifestyle wasn't as fulfilling as I thought it was going to be. That lifestyle didn't give me the joy that it promised to give me. And I ended up waking up one day in great misery, thinking, "How did I get here?" To be lost is tragic. It's tragic to wander away. It's tragic for someone to be careless with the soul of another. It's tragic for someone to just shake their fist in the face of God and say, "God, I'm out of here. I don't want anything to do with you." It's all tragic. It's tragic to be in a situation where you're in grave danger and where you're useless and where you're in terrible misery. The tragedy of being lost. But Jesus has this crowd around him not to paint a picture of gloom and doom, not to paint a picture of gloom and doom that there's no hope for them. He's wanting them to understand the tragedy of their life situation. The life that they've chosen or the life that they have lived has left them in a tragic situation, but that doesn't mean it's a hopeless situation. Because in each part of the story, he talked about the word found. Found. Lost things can be found. He told that the shepherd, when he realized the sheep was lost, the shepherd went out into the wilderness. He laid his own life on the line. He went out into the... We know David talked about when he was a shepherd boy, how he killed a lion, how he killed a bear. It was a dangerous job being a shepherd. And when that shepherd put those 99 sheep, locked them into the sheepfold, and then went out by himself into the wilderness to search and to find that one sheep that was lost, he was putting his life on the line. He was going... Sometimes the shepherd boy didn't kill the lion. Sometimes the lion killed the shepherd boy. Sometimes the shepherd boy didn't kill the bear. Sometimes the bear killed the shepherd boy. And so when he went out into the wilderness to find that one sheep, he was risking his very life to find that sheep. He was laying his life on the line. That shepherd shows us the role that Jesus Christ played in finding lost things. Because the Bible tells us, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd which layeth down his life for the sheep." When Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and his body was broken and his blood was poured out, Jesus Christ was the part of this shepherd going out into the wilderness, putting his life on the line to rescue that one sheep that was lost. But Jesus Christ isn't the only member of the triune God that is involved in finding lost things. He then told the second part of the story about this woman. And when she realized the coin was lost. Now, their floors weren't nice and smooth like our floors are. Their floors would sometimes be a rough stone floor or a dirt floor. It would have cracks and crevices. It would have little holes. To find a lost coin on the floor meant a diligent search, maybe trying to sweep in the cracks to try to kick up whatever was buried in that little crack. And it meant getting down on our hands and knees with a candle and going and searching every little nook and cranny, trying to find that one coin that has been lost. And of course, she pictures what the Bible tells us of the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who goes out and convicts, searches, seeks, draws, convicts lost people of their sinfulness. Jesus Christ said, as we remember in the upper room, just before he was arrested, Jesus Christ told the disciples, "You guys desperately need for me to leave." Which, of course, was kind of bizarre. What do you mean we need for you to leave? We have lived with you for the last 3.5 years. We've eaten our meals around the table with you. You have taught us everything we know about spirituality and God. What do you mean we need you to leave? We don't need you to leave. We need you to stay. And Jesus says, "No, you don't. You need for me to leave. Because if I don't leave, the Holy Spirit will not come to live inside of each and every one of you as individuals. But when I leave and send the Holy Spirit to come and take my place, He's going to live inside each and every one of you, and He's going to have the amazing job of convicting unsaved people of their sin while you witness to them the gospel." Jesus said He'll convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. When you present the gospel to people and you tell people that they're sinners, the Holy Spirit is whispering in their ear, "That's right, you are. You better believe that. That's the truth." What's the Holy Spirit doing? He's diligently seeking the lost. He's trying to draw to Christ that one who is lost. When you tell an individual that you're trying to reach with the gospel, that they're not good enough to go to heaven, that's the Holy Spirit convicting unsaved people of righteousness, that they aren't righteous. And when you tell them they're going to hell, that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit begins to convict them of judgment, Because of the prince of the world, Satan has already been judged. And if you go Satan's way, you're already as good as in hell already. The Holy Spirit works in the unsaved person's heart while we try to reach them with the gospel. And that's why Jesus said, you desperately need for me to go. You need the Holy Spirit to be able to do this work of missions and world evangelism. So God the Son, like a shepherd, goes out and lays his life on the line to go into the wilderness and risk it all to be able to rescue that one lost sheep. The Holy Spirit searches and seeks and looks in every crevice and sweeps up in every little nook and cranny. What's he doing? He's trying to find lost people to draw them to Christ, to entice them to Christ, to convince them that they're sinners, that they're not righteous, and that they're on their way to hell, so they'll come to Jesus Christ. But then there's God the Father. What role does God the Father play? Well, in the third part of the story, we have a dad. We have a dad who did not stop his son from rebelling. We have a dad whose son walked away from him with his fist in his face. And when that son walked away, it broke the father's heart. And the father prayed for his son, looked down the laneway, wondering if his son is ever going to come back. And then when that day came and he saw way off in the yonder, that lost son is coming back home. The father ran out, threw his arms around him, hugged him to his breast, put a ring on his finger and a robe on his back and welcomed him back into the family. And that's what God the Father always does for sinful people. He receives them to himself. He brings them into his family. He restores them to a position of being a child of Almighty God. We have a triune God who is anxious to find lost things. And each member of the Godhead is actively involved in every salvation that takes place. He was actively involved in your salvation. And he's actively involved in the salvation of people today that we try to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, and when those lost things are found, there is an amazing celebration that takes place. We're told that when that sheep was found, the shepherd got all of his friends together and said, look here, I found my sheep that was lost. And they celebrated and they had joy. The woman who found the coin called her friends together and said, I found the coin I've been looking for. And they got together and they celebrated and they had joy. The dad, when his son came home, the dad got the family together and they killed the fatted calf and they had a party and they rejoiced because a son who was dead is alive again. In each case, when something lost is found, there is a celebration that breaks out. The celebration's in heaven. The Bible says there's joy in the presence of the angels. In this passage, the Bible says that there's great celebration and joy when lost things are found. Because God is all about finding lost things. And our triune God is so desperately desirous of saving lost people that all three members of the Godhead have worked together in concert. Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid the price. The Holy Spirit goes out and draws on the heartstrings of unsaved people when we witness to them. God the Father wraps his arms around them and brings them close to his heart and restores them unto himself. And all of heaven celebrates because God is all about saving lost people, finding lost things. You know, that's what missions is all about. That's what Christianity is all about. That's what our existence is all about. We get the privilege of being the feet on the ground for the triune Godhead finding lost things on earth. We get to be the ones that, we're the hands that pass out the tracts. We're the feet that walk up to people. We're the voices that speak. We're the ears that hear their heartache. We are the feet on the ground that God uses to get the message to unsaved people that He wants to say. It's a tragedy to be lost. Do you remember when you were lost? Do you remember what it was like to be lost? Do you remember the conviction in your heart when you were lost? And you knew you were lost? And you felt miserable about being lost? And it was hurtful to be lost? You were in danger. You were useless to God. And you were in misery because you were lost. But God. And then the celebration broke out in heaven because lost things were found. That's missions. That's the lifeblood of Community Baptist Church. To be the feet on the ground for God, trying to reach lost people for His honor and glory.